demon possessed. What about that? He didn't get a big TV program and the world loved him and they thought he's full of the devil. That's something to think about, you know. He said, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father as you do dishonor me. He said in the middle of that verse, I honor my Father. The Lord honored God, His Father. So I want to talk for a minute about fathers in the Bible. Somebody said that we are at a crossroads in our country. Our very survival as a people depends on the presence or absence of men in our homes. Men hold the key to the preservation of the family. The sad thing about our country's shape this morning is absence of daddy. Absence of daddy at church. Absence of daddy in the home. Absence of daddy in the child's life. I heard about this boy. His daddy got him something for Christmas one time. And he opened it up. And it was a gift from his daddy. And he opened it up and he said, Son, this year at Christmas, I'm giving you 1 hour of my time every day. 365 days this year, me and you is going to do something together. Set out in the yard, throw rocks, go take a walk in the woods. He said, me and you is going to do something together 1 hour every day this year. And he said his daddy kept that promise. And he said, as I grew up, he renewed it on Christmas. And he said, now I realize that time with my daddy shaped my life more than any other thing. As the old saying goes, like father, like son. Except they usually get a little worse. Every boy winds up doing like his daddy, or worse, unless God does something for him. Now, if God does something for him, he can do better. But if God don't do nothing for him, he's destined to go no higher than his dad 9 times out of 10. We say dad because to use the word father in a religious context is wrong. Jesus said, call no man on earth your father in a religious setting. Like the Catholic Church does the Pope and the priest. We're called our earthly dad or father like we had up here a while ago. Now, I want to say just 3 things about it this morning, very, very quick, and then we'll go. First, I want to talk about a faithful father. A faithful father. When I think about faithful fathers in the Bible, immediately to my mind comes Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son's daddy. He no doubt was a great and faithful father. Now, this might be a help to some of you men this morning. This man's son rebelled, and he was a great father. There's no indication at all that he had failed him in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, there's several indications that he was a great daddy. He had made a living. He had something. There's something wrong when a man has a family and grow up, and then when he dies, he don't have nothing. He's either had some really bad luck or didn't try hard. And he had something to give his kids as an inheritance. And I'll tell you something else. When that prodigal son came to his right mind, and he said, I know what I'm going to do. I will arise and go to my father. Why did he think that? Why didn't he say, I'm just going to go to the next town and try to make a living? Why didn't he say, I'm going to... He knew that back home, he had a faithful father that would be there. He didn't say, well, I ain't going home. Ain't no telling where daddy's at. Ain't no telling what he's doing. Ain't no help for me back there. I mean, he said, I'll go to my father. I know my daddy has got a house. I know my daddy has got a place for me to sleep. I know my daddy. He was a faithful father. Now, that ought to help us men this morning because that means you can have a child that rebels and still be a good daddy. Now, just because you got good kids don't mean you're a good daddy. And if your kid rebels, don't necessarily mean you're a bad daddy. You might have just lucked up and had good-natured kids sometime. But being a good daddy does definitely greatly increase the chance of your child doing good if you're the man that you ought to be. I'll never forget reading James Dobson talking about his daddy. Dr. James Dobson, you know who he is. And he said his daddy was a preacher, an old-time like an old-timey preacher back in the old days. He said his dad would go off to 10-day revival meetings. And he'd stay, like if he's in Kansas or he was in Wyoming or he was up north, he'd stay 10 days with the pastor. Leave him and his siblings and his mother at home. He said his daddy would go off and preach revival, and he said they would take up an offering for him. He's always a modest offering, very, very seldom, very little to give. And he said while he was there, so he would stay in the pastor's home. They didn't have motels then, or they wouldn't, couldn't afford to use them. He said he'd stay in that pastor's home and eat with them and play with the kids, and he would notice this kid needed clothes or this kid needed that. And James Dobson said he was just a little boy. And he said, 9 times out of 10, his daddy would wind up giving that offering to the pastor and his family and just keeping enough to live off of. And he said he would come home and he'd give that to the pastor, and his mom would say, "Honey, how was the revival?" And he'd say, "Well, it was good. We had a good meeting." And she'd say, "Well, did you get enough money for us to get groceries?" And he would say, "Well, we need to talk about that." And she knew what that meant. And Dr. Dobson said, he said, "I was just a little fella." And he said, "I knew." He said, "My mom never said a word. She never fussed at him. She never said, 'I can't believe you gave our grocery money away. What's wrong with you?'" He said, she said, "You're God's man, and if God told you to do it, it's right, and we'll be all right," and stuck by him. And he said, "As a little guy, I seen how my mom and daddy operated. And I saw," he said, "when the bills come due, somebody'd knock on the door. Something would always happen." And he said, "It was building my faith in my mind growing up. I saw how my daddy handled finances and his attitude toward money and everything." He said, "I grew up with that same attitude of giving, not hoarding, not trying to pile it in all the time." And he said, "I grew up with that same kind of attitude." Ladies and gentlemen, a faithful father will definitely rub off on his dad. Faithful workers, faithful workers. I think about my own dad. I've told you about my daddy many, many times. I never remember my daddy got up and he went to work. I don't care. Mom, he walked to work. I know people now say, "Well, I can't get a job. I ain't got no way to get there." Dad, my daddy walked to work in the snow. Walked in the snow. And Mom said she'd seen him walk over to old Clinchfield Mill over there in Marion, and from way over on the other side of town, 2 or 3 miles in snow, nearly up to your knees. He went when he's sick. He went when he's tired. He went, of course, you know, coon hunting all night, and you got to go to work. It's your fault. Anyway, he went all the time. I remember my daddy, he'd work you to death. I hated it on Sunday morning or Saturday morning. I remember he'd come in there and he'd say, "All right, get your work clothes on." I hated that. I'd have heart and I'd spend the night with somebody. We'd do something. He'd have some big something or another we had to do, and I hated every minute of it. But you know what? I'll never forget him doing that. Ever, ever, ever. Faithful father. He wasn't even saved. Thank God that he did get saved. One guy said this. He said, "I want to live and I want to behave so that when people tells my boy that he reminds them of me, he'll stick out his chest and not instead of his tongue." He said, "That's how I want to live." He said, "I want my boy to be proud." You know, years ago in this country, there used to be a TV show when I was a little kid, and the name of it was Father Knows Best. And back in them days, y'all remember that show? I mean, that was just a little Father Knows Best. And that's a good name for, I bet you won't find one on TV named that nowadays. Oh, that's chauvinistic. Oh, that's sexist. How dare you say that a daddy knows more than a child? That's how crazy our generation is. Our role models today for our kids are Bruce, Caitlin, whatever it is. I mean, that's our father. Back then, brother, it was Father Knows Best, and there's always some moral. Oh, Andy Griffith, man, he is the only person next to God, smart as God almost. I mean, he's right below the Lord. He could figure out anything. And that's the way they used to portray fathers back in the old days, but not now. Not now, buddy. He's the sorriest old dumb. Now the show is, the daughter has a boyfriend that ain't fit to shoot, but he's smart and loving and kind and cares. Mean old daddy. Let's get you away from him. That's the spirit of our generation. But I thank the Lord this morning there was in the Bible, there still is today, faithful fathers. Amen? I want to say secondly this morning about a foolish fathers. There's some foolish fathers in the Bible. I can name you a bunch of them. Lot in the Bible was a foolish father. Lot was a just man. He was saved. But he got his life all messed up and got his priorities wrong. And he was a foolish father. Old Lot, he had them daughters. He lost two of his daughters in the fire of Sodom and messed up and caused the sin the other two. Lot was a foolish father. He got his eyes on the world and on Sodom and the gold and the glitter and the gods of Sodom and lost his family and lost his testimony because he was a foolish father. Pharaoh in the Bible was a foolish father. You know, his son, he had the chance to let the children of Israel go over and over and over, but he hardened his heart. You know what Pharaoh wanted? He wanted them slaves. He wanted that gold. He wanted that glitter. He wanted the gods of Egypt. And God had to wind up killing the firstborn, and he lost his child. He was a foolish father. I'll tell you, Nabal, if he had kids, was a foolish father. Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 5, Daniel told old Belshazzar, he said, King, you've messed up, just like your father did. Nebuchadnezzar was a foolish father in the Bible. I heard about this guy the other day. I read about him, and he said that he was an elder in a church. The church called them elders instead of deacons or have a different office like that. And he said he was up front, and an evangelist come and preached revival. And this guy come and preached this revival, and he said people started coming to the altar and everything. He said the kid was 11 years old. And he said he felt the Lord talking to his heart. And he said, I need to go down there and get saved. He said, I know it was real, 11 years old. And he came down the aisle like this, and his daddy looked at him and said, no, you go back and sit down. You're too young. And he said, when my daddy said that, it shocked me. So I just stopped and turned around and went back. And he said, I stood there 22 years. Never got saved till he's 33. And when he's 11, the Lord dealt with him. And he said, when I was 33, he said, it wasn't as real. I understood it better when I was 11 than I did at 33. And he said, my daddy was an elder in the church and made the mistake of telling me to wait. That's a foolish father, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, if you've got a kid that wants to go to church, you ought to shout every day of your life. You ought to thank God. If you've got a kid that likes to come to the altar, if you've got a kid that wants to sing in the choir, you ought to raise your hands right now and say, hallelujah, glory to God, I'm a rich man. God's been good to me. It's a foolish father that'll discourage your children from going to church. Heard about this little girl one time. Her little dad said, get up and go to Sunday school. She said, do I have to? He said, yeah, get up and go to Sunday school. She said, do I have to? He said, I told you, get up and go to Sunday school. She said, Daddy, did you go to Sunday school when you was little? He said, yes, I did. He walked down and said, probably won't do me no good neither. Probably won't do me no good neither. That's a foolish father. A foolish father. Foolish father. We make them sit in a seat belt. Make sure they get their flu shots. We make sure they get their teeth fixed. Tell you what you daddies better do. Make sure your children know God and they know the Lord and they know the Bible is true. Don't be a foolish father. Amen? J.C. Penney, when he was growing up, J.C. Penney became a very wealthy man. I think he wound up with 1,700 of Penney, J.C. Penney store. But when he was young, he had a real good daddy. And I've read about two or three stories about J.C. Penney, how his daddy had an influence on him. And he said he went to work for this guy who sold food, grocery, like a little grocery store. And he said he was just young. One day he come home and he was bragging about his smart boss man and sneaky business-minded boss man. And they said, what? And he said, man, he said, my boss man, he's something else. He said he sells people coffee and he mixes stuff in the coffee where it's not all coffee. And he said, they never know the difference, and he makes more money that way. It's like selling somebody something, and you making them think that they're getting this when they're really getting this. You tell them it's A grade and it's B grade, or you tell them it's whole or it's mixed or it's something. You know what I mean? And he did that. And he went home and he told his family, he said, man, my boss man's smart. And you know, his daddy looked at him, and he said, you ain't going back to that place. He said, you go tomorrow and turn in your resignation. You're not going to work for a crook. And he said, I didn't like that. He said, you couldn't find a job back then. He said, I was following that guy's footsteps. My daddy made me quit. He said, I won't let you work for a crooked boss. And he said he quit. And he said he got mad at his daddy. And then he wound up getting in the whatever that is, clothing, appliance, whatever JCPenney is. And he said he come that close to being in the grocery business. And we'd have never heard of JCPenney. But his daddy set his foot down and said, you're not going to work for a crook. Ladies and gentlemen, we got dads now that said, yeah, son, smart. Tell them this, but do that. Hide this and do that. Hide this. Fix this, but don't make them think, you know. I'm telling you, that's a foolish father. The rich man in the Bible had five sons on their way and one already in hell. That's a foolish father. Amen. If you don't go to church, you know what you're saying to your kid? It's not important. If you don't give, you know what your actions speak louder than words. They're watching your life. You know what you're saying? No big deal. You know what you're saying? Like father, like son. They said one time this guy was at a bar in his old cold snowy day and everybody went down to this old bar and he's sitting there getting drunk and he's sitting there at a stool like this and everybody's lined up. About that time he felt something pull on him like that and he's a little boy. He said, what are you doing in here? He said, Daddy, I followed your steps. He followed that daddy's steps in that snow. Remember when I was growing up? I was little. I mean little. We still lived in Clinchfield, so I had to be less than six. I guess I was 5 years old. Daddy had mowed the grass. He had a little old push mower. My daddy never owned a riding lawnmower. That was for rich people. I mean, and he mowed all that grass up there where we lived with a push mower all his life. And he mowed the grass. And behind him, I'd walk right behind him. And I'd step. I'd put my feet. I remember doing this, putting my feet right in his. I had to do like this. I can imagine now, with that sort of, I'd want to smack, get out away from me. That's the way you'd feel. But I followed him every step around that yard, and around that yard, and around that yard, and around that yard. And then the older I got, the more I thought, I'll do something. I thought, good night, it's and then I do something like, Lordy mercy. I felt, you can feel your daddy coming out in you, can't you? Good and bad. Can't you? Nod your heads, it's all right. Have you ever done something? Say, Lord, I know where that come from. My dad, you better learn how to pour Roundup on that bad part. And because he's got the bad comes out of him. I mean, the bad comes out of him. That's that wild streak in me. I know where it come from. West Virginia. Right out of him. And when I got saved and I started preaching, Daddy had never been a preacher in the family. Daddy said his aunt used to be a preacher up in West Virginia. Said that's the only Christian he ever knew. I can imagine that. I can only imagine that. I stomp them high heels, sling that pocketbook like that. Daddy told Mom, he said, he's got enough of your goodness in my mouth to make a good preacher. And I never forgot that. And your daddy does stuff and says stuff that influences you and stayed with you. Did you know if you're a daddy and you've got a son, just a hand on his shoulder, good job, son. Good job. They never forget that. If you're always saying, is that the best you can do? What's wrong with you? You ain't no good. I know boys that don't even want to play softball because their daddy's up there hollering at them. Come on, don't strike out no more. What's wrong with you? Let me tell you something, people. Listen, don't be a foolish father. Well, I want to say thirdly this morning, I talked about a faithful father. I talked about a foolish father. Now I want to tell you about a forever father. There's one in the Bible that'll be your father forever. When I was 18 years old, I went to Nebo Baptist Church. And God spoke to my heart, and I went down the altar, and I got saved. I got then a heavenly father. My earthly father's been dead now for 25 years. And my heavenly father will never die. He's a forever father. He was my father that night. He was my father today. He'll be my father tomorrow and a million years from now. He's a forever father. Hallelujah. Amen. How much more shall your heavenly Father, the Lord said. He said, our Father which art in heaven. He said, Father, forgive them when he's on the cross, for they know not what to do. That's a Father, brother. That's a forever Father. Listen, when you got saved, you got a Father that'll be your Father forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I'll tell you what happens when a person gets saved. They get a Father. You get a forever Father. There's a guy called me a few weeks ago. He said, Danny, I'll not mention the name because it's all over the world and they might not want it. So he called me. He said, Danny, he said, will you please go visit my mother? He said, I don't think my mother's saved. I said, I sure will, brother. And we was getting ready to go up yonder to somewhere and went on a trip. And I come back. And there's a message on my answering machine. He said, will you please go visit my mother? I don't think my mother's saved. And he named her, and it's about 25 miles from here on down past Hickory. And he said, I don't think she's saved. And I said, I will go visit your mother. And I wrote her name down. And I wrote the location down. And yesterday morning, he called again. And I'd done promise. I said, I promise you, brother, I will go visit your mother. I said, I'm busy. I said, I've been going. I've been preaching every week. I've been driving. I said, we got bus ride on Saturday. I got to preach on Sunday morning, Sunday night. I'm traveling, getting ready for this and that. And I said, I promise I'll go visit your mother. Well, yesterday morning he called again. And I said, I'm glad you called because I'm planning on going to see her today. We met down here yesterday morning. Brian went with me. We rode down there to where she's at. I went in and I found her. She's in a rest home. And I said, ma'am, her name is Violet. I'll tell you her first name. Her name was Violet. I shook hands with her. 81 years old. 81 years of age. And I began to talk to her. And I asked her the same thing I ask everybody. Violet, are you know you're a Christian? Or you know that you're saved? She said, no, I've never known that. I said, really, you know, most people around here, especially older people, have usually some kind of religious background. She said, I was raised Lutheran. And she said, I was confirmed when I was 7 or 8 or whatever. But she said, I somehow knew that wasn't right. And I said, listen, can I take just a minute of your time? She said, yeah. And I began to talk to her. Very, very nice, polite lady. 81. I mean, in her right mind, sharp as a tack. She could talk to you just like I thought. She's probably in her 60s. I really did. She's 81. And I began to talk to her. And I said, sister, you know, the Lord Jesus loves you. And I said, do you realize that He died to pay our sin debt? He's a Father to the fatherless. He's my Father. He's my Heavenly Father. So I went through the plan of salvation. I said, you got to know, number one, you're a sinner. You understand that? She said, oh yeah, I know I've sinned. And I said, we've all sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said, number two, you got to know there's a price on that sin. There's a terrible price on the sin. And it's death and hell. There would be no death, there would be no hell if it wasn't for sin. She said, I understand that. I said, ma'am, you got to understand, thank God Jesus paid that price for us. Hallelujah! That's the good news. The good news, good news. I owed a debt I couldn't pay, but Jesus went to the cross and paid my sin debt. Everything wrong I've ever done, every cuss word, every lie, every sorry low-down thing I've done, you've done. He paid for it on the cross, people. And I told her that, and I started getting a blessing listening to myself. I said, hallelujah, my sins are gone, they're gone, they're gone, they're gone. And I said, the fourth thing is how to accept it. I read her scripture. I took my little New Testament in there, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I said, do you believe that, Violet? She said, yes, I do. And I said, right now, if I bowed my head and prayed with you, would you ask Him to save you? She said, yes, I would. I grabbed hold of her hand. I bowed my head. I said, dear God. She said, dear God. I said, Lord, have mercy on me. She said, Lord, have mercy. I'm telling you, I was about to take a running fit all over that place. Long story short, she asked Jesus to come into her heart, save her. And you know what? When I got through, I said, amen, hallelujah. I was about to blow up. I was so happy and shouting. I mean, there ain't no feeling in the world like that. Like seeing somebody get saved, except getting save yourself. And you know what? She said, I feel so much better. I tell you, she said, "I'm so glad y'all come." I said, "Hallelujah! I've been praying the last few days. Lord, let me lead somebody to the Lord. I can't stand it. I mean, you're getting backslid if you don't ever lead nobody to the Lord." And I said, "Lord, look," and I got to lead Violet to the Lord. 81 years old. She's got a forever father that she'll live with forever and ever and ever in heaven one of these days. You thought about what a miracle that is? This guy called me, some well-to-do guy from Marion called me and said, "What are you doing now?" I said, "Man, I don't know what you're doing, but it ain't none. I don't care if you're on the lake. I don't know what you're doing, but it ain't no good as what I've been doing. It don't get no better than that. But at Disney World and Dollywood and Florida and California all put together wouldn't make me no happier than driving up the road saying, 'Thank God, 81 years old, that's a miracle.'" I think that's the oldest person I ever led to the Lord. I believe I had one. I know I had one 77, 78. I had one 80. I think that's the oldest person I've ever led to the Lord. Glory to God. She got a father for forever. See, the world says, "You mean that 80-year-old woman living sin all her life and just get saved yesterday and die today and go to heaven?" Yes, sir. That's the way it works. You say, "That ain't fair." Who are you to be telling God what's fair? You know what ain't fair? Him letting us, any of us, go to heaven. That ain't fair. Man said one time, he said, "Well, it's not fair that people go to hell." I tell you what, it ain't fair that we get to go to heaven. Sorry, people like you and me. That's what ain't fair. You better thank God it ain't fair. Thank God He paid the price. Hallelujah. And Violet will be in heaven with her Heavenly Father forever and ever and ever and ever. You know what? Her sins are gone. She got a forever father. Question I want to ask you this morning. Do you have a forever father? I don't have an earthly father anymore. My dad died in 1990. And he was only 60 years old. He went coon hunting all night long. He done that all the time. He'd work all day, go coon hunting all night, come in on Saturday morning, 5:30 in the morning, got in bed. He done that all the time. Mom said, "You must like it awful good." And she woke him up at 9 o'clock, said, "You going to church?" He said, "You go on to Sunday school and I'll be there for preaching." And that was the last words any of us ever heard him say. He had that massive heart attack. I got a Heavenly Father this morning that's going to be there forever. He ain't going to get sick. And he ain't going to die. And He ain't never going to leave me. And He ain't never going to forsake me. You know what some of y'all need to do this morning? Make things right with your forever Father. Because that's all that's going to matter one of these days. Stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed.